Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
You know, it's funny. If you, pulled the crowd after around week two, the Commanders played the Packers in that Thursday night football game. Everybody's like, oh, Packers, Super Bowl window. Myself included. Hand up. Hand up. This team is dangerous. Great defense. Everything's sort of aligned at the right time, getting healthier. And now here we are. Now, about 2 months later, give or take. And now we're having questions about if Green Bay should make a change at head coach. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, Packers writer, said that Matt LaFleur, you can make the argument that he is now coaching for his job the rest of the way. Packers fall to the Eagles last night, 10-7 on Monday Night Football at home, lose two straight home games. They go on the road to the Giants next week. They are now 5-3-1 with that terrible tie that they had against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. So 5-4, give or take. I know it counts a little bit better. As the Eagles improved to 7-2. It was a game with not a lot of offense. Once again, the Packers failed to register basically any offense until the fourth quarter. It was a conservative effort. It was a defensive effort from both ends. Packers defense also played pretty well. And it was a slow game. It moved fast, but in terms of the actual exciting plays, offensive output, you didn't see a lot of it. And then the Eagles were able to really hold them at bay with a couple interesting decisions from Sirianni with about 2 minutes to go, going for it on 4th and 8 from the Packers 45, giving the Packers the ball with a 2-minute drill, and basically, Packers fumble the ball away back to, it was on a 4th down play anyway, but back to the Eagles. And then the Eagles were able to close out the game and away and done with. Packers fall again. Now we sit and wonder about the future of what the Green Bay Packers could look like in the next couple of weeks, in the next year. Oh. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm and ESPN South Florida. Also, the ESPN South Florida app. Got you for the next 2 hours today. Lots to talk about, lots to do post-NFL week. And now we talk about every single game that has actually happened. And Green Bay, I think we have some questions.
Hang on. Can I correct you on something?
Go ahead.
They gotta give that preseason Lombardi that everyone gave him when Micah Parsons got traded to the Green Bay Packers. I root for the downfall of the Packers. This is no secret if you listen to the program. I am a hashtag hater. The Packers are everything I want the Cleveland Browns to be. Small market team, Super Bowl success, consistently good, consistency at quarterback. I mentioned before the year that I think it was a little too soon when Jordan Love got paid. Now, Kyle, the Love contract was sort of a year and a half or a long time separated from that. But regardless, at the time when it happened, I thought it was a little premature. And I think you're starting to see that. You saw it in that godforsaken Panther game, and you saw it this week. And I think people are starting to learn, hey, Jordan Love isn't Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love isn't Brett Favre. Jordan Love isn't the quarterback play that we've had for over two decades. This is a very inconsistent quarterback. Is he a top 15 quarterback in the league? Yeah, I'll give him that. He ain't a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. He ain't a quarterback that is going to be able to take you to the promised land when it comes to the playoffs. I give him credit. One in Dallas, played a good game against the 49ers all those years back.
Was superb against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago.
But Kyle, it's like the inconsistencies of this young man. And listen, for all intents and purposes, he still is young. I'll listen to that. Right? He still is young.
Yeah, he's 27 years old.
We know how Green Bay fan is. They're spoiled, and rightfully so. Colin, I was laughing when you said that they're going to the fire the coach card. So they want to fire the coach now? Coach is out? They want Matt LaFleur, the offensive guru, out in Green Bay? After this is so Packer to me, for the fans to completely turn tail and turn on the coach, if that is true, Kyle. And, please hand back that preseason Lombardi. Hand it back. Because I was tired of hearing how Micah Parsons was the greatest player in NFL history before the season.
I mean, Matt LaFleur, who's been there for a while, keep that in mind. Everybody's wondering about him winning a big game. Fine. He's 72-36-1 in his career with the Green Bay Packers over 110 games. He is 72-36-1. He has been under 500 in the later part of the season just one time since he's been there. And he started his career with Green Bay as a 40-year-old, going 13-3, and then 13-4 in the Aaron Rodgers, the dynamite seasons they had in the early part when Rodgers won two straight MVPs. Now we're sitting there thinking, oh boy, what are we going to do with LaFleur? Because I don't know if it's too early to say. They could still figure it out. Obviously, they still have to play the Bears, and the Bears are ahead of them technically in the standings. The Packers don't have an impossible schedule. Because they still have to deal with the Vikings. They still have to play the Ravens. But they got the Giants. It's not impossible. It's not the worst schedule I've ever seen. And you're looking at, for them, probably 10-11 wins safely to get you into the postseason. But clock's ticking here. If this Green Bay team were to miss the postseason, somebody's going to have to pay for it. And I don't know what they're going to do in terms of making a move, because everything the Packers showed you up until this point showed you that, hey, the front office is actually leaning in to the fact that this is the year. And they got Parsons. They got Xavier McKinney last year as a safety from the Giants. They got Josh Jacobs. I mean, they were able to draft the first-round receiver and Matthew Golden from Texas. They weren't afraid to take, let Christian Watson go. They got about 100 receivers. I mean, I sit here and say, what do you want the front office to do? They put together a good roster. Roster seems to be pretty good. One problem that you could give them a little credit for, I mean, a little, you know, problematic things for is Love hasn't necessarily been, you know, outrageously great. He's been probably serviceable at best. He has moments where he leads the league in interceptions, and he has moments where he's too conservative. Do you want to chalk that up to LaFleur, or do you want to chalk that up to Love? Now, the problem is, I don't think it's one or the other's fault. I think both of their hands are in this sort of jar of failure.
Good, because that was my next question to you. How much is on the quarterback? Everyone's on LaFleur, and he's the easy target.
Yesterday was Love. Even Aikman would say it on the broadcast. Agreed. He's missing players here and there.
Agreed.
Last week was on LaFleur, because LaFleur was conservative throughout the entire first half. Is it crazy to say that this is eventually heading to the Packers having to decide between one or the other? And I think they're going to keep the quarterback. They have to.
They have to. He's under contract. You gave him all that money, and you don't want to admit you're wrong. That would be Gutekunst and the people who are evaluating the players admitting they were wrong. And that's why I go all the way back to when they gave Jordan Love the kitchen sink. It's like, man, like, listen, you had playoff success. You won a game, but listen, you beat the Cowboys. And for people that listen, you know I love Jerry Jones. This isn't me picking on the Cowboys. The Cowboys haven't won a big game in your lifetime. Colin, you're 23 years old. The Cowboys have never won a big game. So you're going to throw him a birthday party and give him all the money, all of Midas' gold, because he beat the Cowboys in a playoff game? I thought it was premature at the time. I really did. But I thought maybe you let him play out another year. I understand, and we talk about this all the time. It's like the chicken or the egg, in the sense of, would you rather figure this out now, give him the money so you don't have to worry about it? I think the issues start to rise when you aren't living up to the contract. When people kept saying in the offseason, you're a Micah Parsons away from competing for a Super Bowl. And they're 5-3. They still got the whole season in front of them. Right. They could win the division still.
They lost to a good Philly team. I'm not necessarily going to call fire because they lost to the Eagles.
And last year, the knock on them was how bad they were in the division. Right? They could not win a game in their division. Now you're scratching your head a bit. Can they win a big game? Can they beat a good team on that schedule?
And the rest of the way, it's going to be a question of, can that offense figure it out? They've barely scored in the first half basically all year long. They have not been able to do anything. They're entirely too predictable. You had Josh Jacobs say post-game that on that final fourth down run, or on that final play where he fumbled the ball, all the Eagle players said the exact play at the line of scrimmage. They knew what was coming. Here's Josh Jacobs talking about this post game last night, post Eagles Packers on Monday Night Football.
As a runner, it don't ever feel good. I mean, whenever they know what we're doing, they'll never feel good, because it changed my mind on how I'm gonna run the ball. If we just being honest, it makes me kind of like guess what I'm gonna do. Obviously, you know. People are smart. If we got code words or whatever, you hear it a few times, like, you're going to eventually react to it. You know, I mean, that's football. But, Yeah, I mean, it's never a good feeling.
How did it change the way you ran on that run?
They called it out. We called our play. They said inside zone. It's coming right here. So I kind of like didn't want to run right there, you know. But that's just how I played out.
That's Josh Jacobs saying post game that hey, Eagles knew it was coming. And they knew that this was going to be the play. And honestly, it changes my perception of how I'm going to run the play. And he's right. The fact that they know that is a problem. The fact that they know that is also not Jordan Love's issue. That's a coaching problem. That's you being predictable. That's you giving signs. I mean, the book is out. That's what that looks like.
That play reminded me of the handoff up the middle that the Rams had. Who is it against? The Niners? When did the Niners beat the Rams?
I think the last game of the year. And then they on the 2-yard line, he fumbled, right. And that lost the game.
Right, but like everyone knew, everyone in the building knew that they were running that play. You're right. The fault is on both Love, and some of the fault is definitely on LaFleur. My pushback is you've seen what LaFleur is able to do with a great quarterback. Now, Aaron Rodgers is completely unfair to compare people to Rodgers because of how great he is. 4-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. I understand all that. But when Matt has had an elite quarterback there, that offense has looked night and day different. You're not scoring under 20 points 3 straight times in a season. And that's what they're not, excuse me, not straight, but 3 times this season, Green Bay has not scored 20 points. You're not going to win football games doing that. And the Eagles, give them credit, you know, to get on them a little bit. They did the same thing, but they were able to win a couple of those games. So, I don't know. I look at the NFC, Colin, and I comparatively like a lot more teams than them. I like 2 teams better than them in their own division, let alone in the NFC in whole. You like the Eagles better. You like the Rams better. You like the Seahawks better. I personally like the Bears and the Lions better than the Packers at this point.
I mean, I can't understand how you'd say the Bears when the Bears have squeaked by every game they've played this year. But one thing I'll say, you want to talk about, fine.
Quarterback's winning them the game, too.
Love has had issues. Let's go through the play chart. We haven't done this in a while. How about this? How about the first drive of the game? 9 plays, 12 yards, took 5 minutes off the clock. Fine. All right, kickoff happens. 5-yard run with Josh Jacobs. All right, pass to Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, 3-yard run. Josh Jacobs, 4-yard run. Josh Jacobs, 2-yard run. Josh Jacobs, 2-yard run. Josh Jacobs, 1-yard run. Sack, and then on 3rd and 20, incomplete deep left. 2 drives later, they go 3 and out the following way. A penalty, and Jordan Love gets sacked. Again, Josh Jacobs, first play, 5-yard run. Josh Jacobs, 2nd play, 11-yard run. All right, let's go back to Josh Jacobs. 3-yard run with Josh Jacobs. Then a minus 1-yard run with Josh Jacobs. Then we got a Jordan Love pass, a penalty, and then a punt.
You want to know
what that is too predictable.
You want to know what all that tells me? They don't trust the kid.
Yeah.
They don't trust
the
young man.
So what do you want to chalk that up to? Do you not trust Love? Or are you so desperate to try to kickstart this offense via the running game? And I know Josh Jacobs is the best player on that offense. He's the guy you want to go behind. But you're entirely too predictable here in the first half that everybody knows exactly what is coming. You play yourself out of the game when you play like that because it's a wash the first half. This doesn't happen. Check out every drive they have the first drive of the game every week. It's Josh Jacobs. And at the end of the game, we need to make a play. Then we have Jordan Love, who hasn't gotten anything going all game because they're entirely too conservative. And he doesn't get anything going. Is it Love or is it LaFleur? It's both. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw 50 touchdowns and had 5 interceptions in this offense. You get 2 MVPs in this offense. They won 13 games for 3 straight years.
I also think, Kyle, there's no Davante Adams in this offense. Let's give Golden some time.
Davante Adams does not make a team of 13. And they've been unlucky. You're right. You're right on the injuries. They've been unlucky.
Tucker Kraft, too, injured the last 2 games. They've lost 2.
He's done for the year.
And that was Love's favorite target. A lot of the yards, Kyle, came in that Pittsburgh game. But he loved throwing to that guy. So I think the work is cut out for Green Bay, not only within the division, but also to possibly, if they lose it, if they're not going to win the division, it's cut out for them to make the wild card. There's a lot of good teams in the NFC this year. There really are. I mean, at the NFC West, you damn near got 3 playoff teams with the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks alone. You look over, to the East. And obviously, you got the Eagles or the Cowboys. You know, maybe the Cowboys could turn some things around. And then in the NFC North, I can almost guarantee 2 of the teams are going to be a playoff bound. Is one of those teams going to be the Green Bay?
I mean,
we'll have to keep in mind there.
The 2 top teams in the NFC West have been by far the best teams that we have, comparatively, the NFC North, by far. Seattle and the LA Rams have been much better.
And I was going through the teams who I think are going to make the playoffs. So, like, we're running out of spots a bit. You know, you're kind of running out of spots. if Green Bay is going to be one of the two teams in the NFC North that are at the head of that.
I mean, you can't play like this. You can't be that conservative and then expect to win the game. I mean, even that Steeler game where they scored 35 points, they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. 28 of their 35 came in the second half. I mean, if you want to play four quarters of football, you know what everybody loves to hear, let's go play four quarters, then you got to be more you got to be a little bit more aggressive. And maybe it's a Jordan Love issue. But now that the fire is lit underneath Matt LaFleur, and now that there is, I don't know if there's a conversation internally. Honestly, I doubt it. Because if he's fired every single team that is looking for a coach, he's more sought after than Ben Johnson. So he would immediately be picked up. All right, everybody would call. I mean, the Giants would be on the phone before the clock strikes zero. That's how much of a prized commodity Matt LaFleur would be if you ever to hit the open market. But you're going to sort of circle around. The problem is they've tied their hands to Jordan Love. And at a certain point, when you don't succeed to the expectations that the Packers expect themselves to be, then somebody has to answer for the crime. Then it's probably going to be Matt LaFleur. That would be a huge mistake, in my opinion, for the Green Bay Packers. But I understand the confusion. Because this team, clearly the defense is great. Clearly. Nobody is doubting that.
Yep.
That defense is as good as any defense is around. But and it really, they fell apart in a couple games. Fine. That's a great, great defense with a defensive coordinator that might get calls as a head coaching gig and Jeff Hafley.
The only game that they give up more than 25 points was the Cowboy game.
Cowboy game.
That's it. That was it. It was the 40-point Cowboy
game. It's a great defense.
An amazing defense. And what makes me really think that something stinks there is, oh, you were a Micah Parsons away. And you look at that roster, you go, you know what? You're right. But at the same time, you kind of start double-guessing yourself because you see some of these pieces on offense that aren't working. We mentioned the injuries. Fine. But some of the receivers that they've brought in haven't panned out. You know, listen, the offensive line could
been
maybe...
Been hurt. They've been very hurt.
Correct. But, like, you know, you want to be deep at those positions. I could hardly get on a backup for not doing his job great. But you get what I'm saying, Colin. Maybe some of those hits on the offensive end aren't as hits as we think they are, including the quarterback.
First round,
quarterback is the biggest one.
They drafted Jordan Morgan with their first-round pick 2 years ago. He has stunk. Elgin Jenkins went down with an injury. Zach Tom hasn't been consistently available. They have offensive line issues, there's no doubt. But, I mean, the Packers are going to need to figure out here what you're playing for. Because now that you're got a tough road ahead to get into the postseason, their next couple games, let's check how many divisional opponents they have the rest of the way. Because the NFC North loves playing these divisional games when it gets cold. They got the Giants next week. All right, fine. Still on the road. But after that, Vikings, Lions, Bears consecutively. Then they're going 2 Mile High to play the Broncos. Then you got the Bears again. Ravens, who are likely going to be in the playoff mix. And then the Vikings again. And then the Bears. And then the Vikings. I mean, come on. You're playing every single team, essentially. You had every single divisional game except for the Lions. I if I'm the Packers, you need to figure out what type of team you want to be. And I had their over, so I had skin in the game.
What is it? Oh, yeah, you didn't get 9. You got
9.5. It was supposed to be 9.5. I got 10.5.
There you go.
So you need 11. I was telling people at Machu Picchu in July to take over 9.5, and I still think they're going to get that. 10.5, we're going to have a discussion. This is going to be a tough get. I needed yesterday.
I can't, like... But like Matthew Golden, the first RC, he doesn't have a touchdown. Colin, you've seen how many times have we seen first round wide? Look at Emeka Abuka on the other end. This kid doesn't have a touchdown yet. He doesn't have 300 yards.
It's a bizarre way to run their offense because there is just so many. There's a lot of players. It's a committee, and they rotate them just entirely too much. Nobody gets into a flow or a rhythm. And Love. I mean, we saw last week with the Carolina Panthers. He had two passes that were some of the worst passes I've seen an NFL quarterback throw this year. And that interception and the interception that was dropped in the end zone. I mean, Jordan Love is by far without blame, too. They're both a problem. But if you're the Green Bay Packers, you're going to have to sit here and now discuss, all right, do we have to decide one, both, or none? As in terms of the head coach and the quarterback. And the problem is, quarterback's making a whole lot of money.
Is this an overreaction? Is this
total overreaction?
Okay.
I do. Because I like LaFleur.
I mean, too.
What? He's one of three coaches that have not had playoff success in the entire NFL?
You mentioned how hot of a commodity he would be.
He would be signed in an instant.
Partner, I would be leading the bandwagon for my team.
The Browns would call him. The Giants would call him. The Titans would call him. Yep. He'd have his pick of the litter.
Correct. He could go wherever the hell he wants.
And he would be able to decide general manager. He'd run the team wherever he'd go next. And people have issues with him. He's too conservative. He's playing scared. If you're trying to protect Love, because we know Love can have injury issues on a bad day, fine. But if we really want to figure out what the best move for the Packers is, it's open it up.
So, Kyle, we went back and forth on this for 23 minutes. You want to know what I've dumbed it down to for myself, what I think the problem is. It's the quarterback. For me, it's the quarterback. And Mike Tannenbaum, who joins our show, you know, he's NFL insider for ESPN, former general manager, knows 10 times more football than I ever will. But he loves Love. There are a ton of people around the league who love Jordan Love. I'm not one of those people. I thought the contract they gave it was way too early, and he's too inconsistent for my liking. And even in some of the big games that he has, this is me nitpicking, but like the Steeler game, he threw to Tucker Kraft the whole game. Steelers had covered the friggin' tight end.
He was great in that game.
The
I'm going to give him credit. He was great
but
in that game.
It's like
that was one of the better games I've seen him play.
I you look at that division, I think he's and I am overreacting about Caleb Williams, okay? Let's make that blatantly clear. But I think I would take Caleb Williams and Jared Goff over him. I really would. I'd take those two quarterbacks over him
now. Goff for me. Definitely Goff. But all three of those teams have showed flaws. It's a weird division. I don't know if I would take a team today. And I love the Lions. I think the Lions are so well put together. But for some reason, they just haven't. They've been a little inconsistent in terms of clicking.
And the reason to go back to the whole quarterback thing, the reason I think the quarterback is the issue is because you've seen what LaFleur can do with Rodgers. Is it? Tell me if I'm wrong, if that's an unfair comparison, fine.
I mean, now you got to make the discussion. The thing you got to say.
Those offenses were unbelievable.
Rodgers had his best years under LaFleur. LaFleur had his best years under Rodgers. It might have been a marriage thing more so than it actually, because, you know, Rodgers was good, and we know how great he was under McCarthy in his prime of his career,
yeah.
But he had a resurgence. He was 38 years old. He had a resurgence under LaFleur. And then all of a sudden you go to Love, and you've had highs and you had lows. Maybe it's not the marriage that LaFleur necessarily wants. The offense doesn't click as well to him, and he can't open it up the same way that Rodgers has. Because Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Fame top eight player to ever live. Is that about Aaron Rodgers or is that about Matt LaFleur? The fact that LaFleur was able to get the best out of him, or is that just chalking it up to Rodgers just really turning it around? That's where now you can't ask questions like that because we're so far removed. But you got to give LaFleur a little credit for getting the best out of Rodgers.
I do, and that's why I think he just doesn't trust the quarterback. That's the only way
Now you lost two straight home games, so now you're going to have to, right? Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just...
If he plays you out of a game, he plays you out of the game. But you can't go this season with one hand behind your back because you're afraid of the quarterback.
Yep, and that's the second straight time they lost to the top dog in the
NFC.
He'll
get you fired. That's the problem. Yep. It's going to get him fired. If they continue like this, if they lose two more horrible games, if they lose another game similar to, you know, that Brown game or the Panther game, they drop one to the Giants or something like that, they lose to the Bears at home, and they lose to the Vikings once, and all of a sudden this team's going to go 8-9 wins, somebody's going to pay for that.
And with that off, and we speculated before the year that offense was going to be a wagon, they've scored under 20 points three times this year. I don't know, bud.
Hasn't been consistent. Now, they've been unlucky. You got to say a couple things here. They've been unlucky with injuries. Offensive line's been banged around. Receivers have been banged around. But they have too much pretty good and almost no great.
Mm-hmm.
Their great is Josh Jacobs at his best.
Correct.
Every other part of that offense, Jordan Love, pretty good. Christian Watson, pretty good. Jaden Reed, been pretty good. Romeo Doubs, pretty good.
Health too, with the receivers.
Right. Offensive line, they've been hurt, pretty good. There's not a lot of great. Defense, great. Front seven, great. Plays.
I feel like they drafted the young receiver to be great.
Yeah, it's too early. You can't put it all on him. It's a receiver.
The reason I'm still on that, too many times I've seen first-round receivers immediately figure out in the league. Way too many times. We have too many to kind of give him a pass there. I think it's on the quarterback. I don't think it's on the young receiver. I think it's on the damn quarterback.
I mean, hold on. You can't blame one thing you got to say. It's hard to blame Jordan Love. We just went through that first drive when they run the ball with Josh Jacobs six straight plays.
The coach doesn't trust him to throw because he stinks.
It's not because he stinks. It's because they're just being conservative. And maybe that is because they're protecting him, but they paid him $55 million. Something's going to have to give. I mean, the guy threw 300 yards at Heinz Field 3 weeks ago. What gave? What happened? What changed?
They played the Steeler defense, which is...
Yeah, fine. I mean, it's still a... Love was outstanding that game. He's inconsistent, but that was one of the best games I've ever seen him play. Maybe the best game of his career. And then you followed up with that? Inconsistent. Disappointing in the Packers. And I don't know if they're going to make a drastic decision because it's not the Packer way. They're not the type to panic. They'll give him to the every last drop. Everybody knows that LaFleur would be a hot commodity. I'm sure the Packers do if they were to move on. But something will have to give because this is a win-now team where you've invested a whole lot of capital and resources into making it work. It's not going to work. If it doesn't work this year, doesn't work next year, that I mean, what are we talking about here? Everybody else, Bears are getting better. Lions are still going to be great. Packers have been 1 foot in, 1 foot out for about 3 years. That's the problem. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt. Download the ESPN South Florida app today. The ESPN South Florida app, it's your beat for South Florida sports. That is Russo and Rizzo. That is Theoretically Speaking. That is Inter Miami English and Spanish broadcast. The Florida Panthers on their quest for three in a row on the Stanley Cup side of things. Kaiser University football. And you also got high school football from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast on Friday nights. You got the playoffs coming up here this week in the next couple weeks. So stay playoffs, so stay tuned for that. That will all catch here on the ESPN South Florida app. Stay tuned there. Download it for free on the App Store today. On the other side of things, we got to rank our top 10 in the AP poll. We'll do a little top 10. We'll figure out who's the worst first place team, who are the pretenders of the bunch, and who are the contenders. We're at that point where we could probably make declarations like that. We'll get to it next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Been a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. Listen up, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. They are the type that like to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They can get yours too. Don't settle for just any attorney. Don't settle for the bad. Settle for the great. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the difference, really, with Anajar and Levine. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. All right, we got the official college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. Let's beat them to it. We got a little bit of AP poll to go off of. We have the past week of games to go off of, a couple eliminations. Let's figure out who our top 10 is going to be with college football presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country.
They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, Good Greek Moving and Storage. I'll tell you what, if you're moving, I don't want you stressing because from packing and storage to local, long-distance moves, Spiro and his team at Good Greek got you covered. And what makes them different is the safety factor. Every single worker for Good Greek has been through the Spiro Superhero Movers Academy. These are the people you can trust with your family. You got to run out to get some dinner. You got to run out to do this. You can trust them to keep them at home with your family. I already mentioned they're trusted by families, but also businesses and even sports teams like the Hurricanes and the Heat. Are the Hurricanes going to make it in the top 10? Probably not, folks. But for over two decades, they have been doing this. You got to make your next move simple, safe, and stress-free with the world's only total relocation company. Go to GreekMoving.com. That is GreekMoving.com for more information. Hit up my guy Spiro and his team if you are moving soon.
All right, let's get right to it.
Is Notre Dame in it? I'd keep them out.
What top 10? Last week's poll?
I'd keep Notre Dame out of the top 10.
All right. So what we did the last time we did this.
I was not on the show yesterday. Last Tuesday.
We didn't do one last week.
Yeah.
We didn't do one last week.
I was not on the show.
A couple weeks ago, here's what we have.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt and Miami are 10 and 9, respectively. Georgia Tech's at 8. Oregon's at 7. 6 is Ole Miss. 5, Georgia. 4, Alabama. 3, A&M. 2, Indiana. 1, Ohio State. So clearly, that back half is going to change up quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, but this was Miami pre-losing to SMU on the road.
And pre-Georgia Tech.
Vanderbilt's got two losses on the season now as well. So the question I want to ask you, because if you want to put them in, fine. All right, it's the popular pick. I get it. I'd keep Notre Dame out.
Yeah, I'm fine with keeping. No problem with that. Because there's a couple teams we're going to have to take out and a couple teams we're going to have to put in. Now, keep one thing in mind. Oregon was in for us. Texas Tech was not in. Texas Tech is absolutely going to be in the list
yep.
after taking care of BYU over the weekend. Now, the question remains in where do you rank those middling SEC slash Big 12 teams? Where do you put BYU here, who just only has one loss?
I put BYU as one of the first teams. Probably one of the first teams on the back end, either 11 or 12. Would you agree with me on this?
I can listen to that. I think they're getting punished quite a bit, but they weren't convincing in the game.
This is our top 10, but like 12 teams are going to make the college football playoffs. So like I think BYU probably the last team in, and I think one of the, if not kind of the last two teams in 11 and 10 would be Texas and Oklahoma. I think that's a big decision too. Where do you want to put Texas and Oklahoma on the list? And who makes it in for Notre Dame? Are you keeping in Virginia Tech? Are you throwing in Vanderbilt? I personally would put Miami in. I know you're out on that. I'd probably put Miami in the top 12.
Absolutely not. Okay. Well, you're now convinced me of that.
Okay.
You want Miami to be in this?
I do. I think Miami's better than Utah, Georgia Tech, BYU, and out of Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Texas. They're not better in all three. They're probably better in one of those teams, but I get it. You got to win the games that are on the schedule. You can't lose in meddling opponents, and they did just that. So I'm okay with putting BYU at 12, and I think before we get into the meat and potatoes, we got to decide 11, 10, and 9 before anything.
Yeah, the one thing about Oklahoma is they haven't had the most – their hard schedule starts now. You know, they got Alabama coming up. They got LSU still coming up. They had that bad loss in the Red River rivalry. Is it hard to put a Texas – below them because Texas beat them handily head-to-head. That's the argument you got to make. Now, I think Oklahoma's a little better than that. Texas, you know, they weren't healthy that game. I mean, John Mateer was not healthy. It was a terrible game offensively.
Yep.
But I don't know if I'm – I don't think that's fair. I really don't think that's fair.
I think then BYU 12, Notre Dame 11. You good with that? Notre Dame on the outside looking in on the top 10 because I'm petty like that. I'm petty. That's the only reason – they played great, fine. They had the win against USC, fine. I dare I say, in hindsight 2020, not a rainstorm, and Lincoln Riley doesn't get in his own way. USC wins that football game, but they won the game. So let's start with number 10.
Number 10.
So with that said, once again, BYU 12, Notre Dame 11, we are on to our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Yeah, the thing is, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Texas. Texas has beaten both Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. So it's hard to put... And now Texas has the worst resume because Texas has barely escaped Mississippi State, barely escaped Kentucky, probably should have lost to both of them, but they had those two head-to-head wins. You gotta put flavor to that. You gotta give that a little bit of power.
I think here...
Number 10.
You probably put...
I would put Oklahoma. Excuse me. I'm going to change my mind there. I'd put Vandy.
Vandy. Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear what you were going to say because I think it is
number 10.
I think this is Vandy.
Vandy was in the
game. I think this is Vandy.
They had a terrible first half against Texas. They rumbled back, scored 21 straight. That was a game that if Vanderbilt probably plays four quarters, it probably went a lot differently. Texas was home. That Red River rivalry was not competitive. So you got to give Vanderbilt a little bit of credit here, especially with wins over LSU and Missouri, which obviously don't look great.
Now, I think here's the issue, Kyle. Out of Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Texas.
I think you do Vanderbilt and Texas.
One can't be in the top 10. You know what I'm saying? Out of those three teams, one can't be in the top 10.
Say, who's the third you said?
So it's Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Yeah, I think one of those teams,
one of those teams is 13, is what I'm trying
Oklahoma's
to say.
Oklahoma's up.
Okay.
Because Oklahoma's got Alabama this weekend. If you want to show us something, show us something.
Totally agree. So with that said, Number nine.
All right, so number 10 being Vanderbilt. Number 9, you probably got to go Texas here just off of the head-to-head wins. You know, I would say...
A Texas fan would be very angry. We're going to put Texas Tech ahead of them, compared because of the SEC and that quote SEC schedule.
I can't listen to that either.
I'm fine with putting Texas at number 9.
Number 9.
I think that makes the most sense. And now, Kyle, that moves us on to...
Number 8.
This is the top 10 power rankings on the college football side presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
I'd be ready to put Oregon here. I'd be ready to put Oregon here at 8.
Over Texas Tech?
Yes.
Sorry, or Texas Tech above Oregon?
Correct.
I think I agree just because of how bad that I have a bad taste in my mouth from Iowa City. I know you're higher on Iowa than I am.
You put no stock into in-conference road games. You put absolutely no stock
into Iowa stinks, Kyle. They play a brand of football that Jim Tressel was playing in 05.
It doesn't, but that's why it's dangerous.
Not good.
Playing in Iowa is like playing in Louisville. It's a tough spot to play in. So do I hold them back? I hold them back more from the Wisconsin game. from 2 weeks ago. That's where I really hold
the offense has hit a buzzsaw. It really has. That Dan Lanning offense has not looked like the offense that you saw last year with Dylan Gabriel and company, which is a little shocking. But number eight will
number
do.
Number eight.
Oregon, that moves us on to number seven. And I think this is where Texas Tech slides in. Would you agree?
Yeah, they absolutely dominated the game against BYU. They absolutely dominated the game. And they've been inconsistent with Holland and then Morton both playing quarterback. They haven't been healthy both at the same times, but Morton started over the weekend. They controlled the game. They have a ton of talent defensively. Offensively is where they have a little bit more questions. But, I mean, it's a fun story, Texas Tech. Let's think through that. They have a ton of money. But they hired Joey McGuire, their head coach, out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome story. Somebody you want to root for. So, Texas Tech at number seven, I think, is a fine spot. You got to give the Big 12 a little credit eventually.
Speaking of McGuire, he threw shade at Notre Dame for not being in a conference. He has earned my respect after that. Let's move on to number six. Kyle, dare I say...
Here's what we need to know. We need to know that Ole Miss, UGA, Alabama, A&M, Indiana, and Ohio State.
Correct. And I Georgia beat Ole Miss heads up. I think Ole Miss checks in here.
Number six.
At six, would you agree?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
And then number five.
Number five.
I put Georgia because Georgia lost to Alabama. And, like, I don't mean to go through these rapid fire. I just think it's, like, you know.
Number four.
Alabama. And then we could have a conversation about the top three. But I think six.
Number six.
Ole Miss. I think five.
Number five.
Georgia. And I think four.
Number four.
Alabama. I want to put Bama ahead of A&M. Said nobody, only other than me. But A&M undefeated. You got to give them credit. They're undefeated.
You can't change anything there.
Yeah, so, but listen, I leave this to you because you know how I want this to shake out.
I think Indiana's three.
Wow.
Why is that a wow?
You love Indiana. It's your team.
I think Indiana's awesome. I mean, they're undefeated. You got to give them credit for that. They won a tough in-conference road game where they got caught in that early part of the second half. But A&M has dominated everybody.
I agree with that. I definitely thought this was going to be an A&M for you, but I agree. This is Indiana.
Number three.
And then now.
Number two.
I think it's personally A&M. I know I'm going to get pushed back here.
I'm fine with that. You want to keep Ohio State there? That's fine.
I do. I want to keep
Ohio State. A&M has had an easy rest of the schedule until that Texas game at the end of the year. They have a very good chance of going undefeated in that SEC
Championship. Partner, I went back and listened yesterday, and I owe you and Christian an apology. I might have been a little too big of a homer for my own good with Ohio State, but there's something that I have to realize is the conference and the schedule thing is a thing this year. It's unfair for me to sit here and say, the SEC teams are good because they're the SEC. The beauty of this is,
SEC teams are good because, Mike, you and I just put six teams in the top 10.
Exactly. And from this point on, boys, from this point on, I promise you, we'll not get in a screaming match with you guys on Ohio State until the college football playoff and we start seeing Ohio State play the top tier team. Is that fair?
Big Ten championship game. Fair? See how that goes. Big Ten championship game. Maybe the Michigan game will.
The Michigan game
will be something, too.
And I'll end it with, I think the bias that myself included and some of the people give the SEC is just because it's the SEC. And I think we got to keep in mind that this isn't the Georgia that won back-to-back championships with Kirby. And this knight in shining armor that carried the conference for a decade isn't there anymore. So, and it doesn't help that the Big Ten teams are losing, right? The Illinois stink. To your point, the Washingtons, they stink. Like, the back end Big Ten team has not won the games they were supposed to win this year. So that's why the SEC is running dominance right now. I can't listen to Sankey say they deserve eight teams in the playoff, though. Did you see that today?
I think that was fake.
Did we get caught?
Don't say we. Did he get caught?
It was Brian who sent that.
Oh, okay.
It was our program director or director of content.
I never received his text. He's got the Android.
Dude, and hang on.
He's got the Android.
Christian, can I steal you for 2 seconds? Colin sends me, we're in the office today. Colin sends me the Mr. Freeze stuff because the Freeze, for those of you that don't know, Racetrack, which,
Christian. The guy who races people at Atlanta Braves games.
Racetrack, Christian's a very big fan of Racetrack, as we know, but quickly, the guy who races people at the games, Christian texted this to us last night. I responded to it. Did you not get these text messages? What is wrong with your phone?
It's not my phone. It's, our boss, Brian Rowitz's phone.
Christian, you and I had a full-on conversation about the Freeze last night. And Colin, at 12:30 in the afternoon, is sending me stuff about how the Freeze got fired.
Last night?
Yeah, dude. Christian sent us the article.
The last thing I saw.
And I said, Colin, put him.
Last thing I saw from you was Dable fired. That was the last thing you said, which you said yesterday, early or late
morning. I responded to Christian going, Colin, put him out of a job. You don't see that?
No. I sent you the Peter Schrager travel story, and that is the last thing on my thing. See
dude,
that?
What is,
you see that? It's on the stream. It's the big. It's that's all I
blame.
Got.
So you
I
didn't blame. See that Oregon State fired their interim head coach after losing to Sam Houston State.
Like Christian and I were talking to ourselves in this group chat. Apparently,
I don't know. I don't know what happened. It's Brian's phone.
It's
Christian,
the
it used to be Christian too, and then Christian went to the light, the blue side.
Thank God,
and he got the iPhone.
Can I be honest and listen?
All right, I don't want to hear from you, iPhone 11.
I prefer...
And Mike's phone is basically the same
it's
thing
not
as
an 11,
Android.
It's an 8, but listen, I prefer PCs over Macs, okay? Let me make that blatantly clear. But when it comes to the phone, you're trolling with the Android. If you have an Android, you're fooling yourself.
I don't get Brian's text.
You're dead wrong there.
Individually, I'm fine. If you have Brian Rode has an Android, individually, I get his text. In the group chats, never.
The funniest thing is when you bring up to somebody, like, why do you have an Android? I don't want people knowing what I'm doing. Like
they
it turns into
know.
A kid.
They know.
Exactly. It turns into a conspiracy. Colin, it turns into a conspiracy theory on why they have an Android
the companies
and not
know,
an iPhone.
Dude. All right. So
you're dead wrong there.
Make your peace.
That's what I mean. You're dead wrong
Everybody
there.
Knows. All right. If you're getting watched, all right, just make your peace with it.
That's what I mean. You're dead wrong there. So like but at the same time, like so you completely missed this.
Alright, so I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, anyway. So I don't know. So you wonder why Mike always gets on me for not responding. I don't even receive it. And it's only with accounts.
Well, we thought it was Christian.
Brian.
We thought it was Christian.
Hey, it probably was Christian, too.
Christian goes to the iPhone, and now we're still having problems.
I'm not going to. It's 2025, but it is 2025. Need to have an iPhone. It's a waste of time.
I said
you're wasting everybody's time with the Android. You're wasting everybody's time. What are you doing?
And then you ask the Android person, it turns into a conspiracy theory. It turns into, oh, I don't want this person watching me. I don't want the government watching. Brother, they know what you're doing anyway.
They know.
They know. On that good. Godforsaken Android, they know what you're doing, too.
It's fine. All right? Yeah, the information gets sold regardless. All right? Just make a peace with it and move on with your life. Get the iPhone like everybody else.
Right.
These stupid... stupid group chats that they can't eat nothing. You don't get the texts.
And then they're
green. I get them all at once.
And then they're green.
Like 3 days later. I remember one time I got all the texts like at once, and it was a whole conversation just showing up. Like, oh, this is wonderful. I wish I could chime in. Too late.
Yeah, you can't go.
But, sorry, I did not receive that.
That was our top 10 power rankings on the college side, presented by our good friends at Good Greek Moving and Storage. Once again, call my guy Spiro. If you plan on relocating soon, if it's your business, your home, Spiro and his team at Good Greek Moving and Storage will be able to take care
of it. You're
not going to
like it. You're not going to like it. But the one team that could shoe themselves in to be that fourth Big Ten team, I don't think it's going to be USC because USC still has to deal with Iowa and Oregon.
They needed to beat Notre Dame.
It's Michigan.
Well, yeah, if they go undefeated and they beat Ohio State.
You want to talk about a bid stealer? What they a popular phrase in college basketball when somebody steals a bid would be Michigan beating Ohio State. They wouldn't have to play in the Big Ten championship game, and you'd have to put them in with two losses. And they only have Northwestern and Maryland the rest of the way.
Yep.
USC is going to lose another game. I thought it would be Washington. Because Washington was at two losses and had Oregon the last game of the year, but Washington decided to lose to Wisconsin, and so we're out on that.
And folks, for all my SEC faithful that are listening, Michigan's got the number of us right now. We're the best team in the country until we face off against it. I don't know how to explain it.
It's a winnable game. It's a winnable game for Michigan. That's the only team that could chew themselves in for a bid-stealing opportunity.
Yep.
In the interim, it looks like Big Ten's going to be a three-bid conference.
Mike, if Michigan does beat Ohio State Thanksgiving weekend,
yeah.
What will you do?
I'm fine. I've made my peace.
He doesn't care about it.
I've made my peace. I've made my peace that we're probably going to lose that game. I really have. I've made my peace.
So we got to find the next biggest, now the biggest college football rivalry.
Like I am.
Army Navy.
I am, like, guys, I told my buddies, like, there's a good chance I could go to the game, by the way, in the Big House. There's a chance I might be there. But it all depends on the Inter-Miami schedule. It all depends on
when does that come out?
I have no idea. Because Inter-Miami, their next game is the 23rd, and they haven't announced games after. Colin, here's the thing. It's a single elimination from here on out. So if Inter-Miami loses to FC Cincinnati, I'm going to the Big House.
Because, yeah, single elimination.
Exactly.
Okay.
But, like, if Inter-Miami, and I hope our Herons.
That's the 30th,
listen,
I believe, right?
Yeah, I hope our Herons beat FC Cincinnati. But there is a chance that Inter-Miami beats FC Cincinnati, and they're going to play that Saturday or following Sunday. So, I got to keep it up. Let's just say, no names, please, there's a ticket available for me.
Oh, wow. All right.
There's a ticket available for me.
We'll see. We'll see who the pretenders and then who the contenders are as we go throughout. And also, Nico Harrison, a guy who Mike and I killed for about two straight months after trading Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks. Patrick Dumont, the owner of the team. Everybody, all right, now, see ya. Fired him. 12 games into the season. Goodbye. After a terrible start for the Mavericks, they finally got rid of the general manager. Oh, that was it. That was it. It wasn't Doncic.
You're on that over, aren't you?
I am. Maybe we'll see what to turn around. We'll see what happens. Nonetheless, Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Gatt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, the best part about watching these games throughout the week, now that there's no playoff baseball at this time of the year, college basketball, it's NBA season during the weeks, that kind of carries you until the weekend. You can do that. You can parlay that all together with the games over the weekend. You can do that all on the Hard Rock Bet app, which you can download today on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Hard Rock Bet is your place because if you just put $5 into the app, just $5, you bet it and win it, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately into your account that you can play with. You refer another friend. Then you get $50 in referral bonus that you also get with the app. They got prop bets. They got parlay boosts, profit boosts, deals week by week. Check out the Discover page and see what they have for you because they have so many options for you not only to get started with these random games, random leagues, random times. You can bet live, future, player prop. They have it all covered on the app. Check it out today. That's Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida, the wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Was that not the most predictable thing in the world? That Nico Harrison would be fired from the Dallas Mavericks after 15 games?
Well, the rumor was that the Dumonts didn't like Luka. Then does it look like the Dumonts were the reason Luka Doncic left?
Well, they found their scapegoat. I mean, this is a guy who was the biggest name in front office in sports. And the funniest part is Shame Charania tweeted it. At what time did he release this? He released this at 9:21 Central Time. And he said in the tweet that they're expected to fire general manager Nico Harrison at 10 a.m. Central Time.
So 11.
So this guy saw a tweet about his own firing before he even got fired. Yeah. I mean, that is ridiculous.
I mean, I guess that's what happens when you're 3-8 with lofty expectations. 3-8, Cooper Flagg hasn't looked great. They're 0-5 in the Western Conference. It's been a nightmare. It's been bad.
It's a little early. If you're going to fire him after the Doncic move. If you're not going to fire him, then at least, give him 11 games to see what the team looks like.
I mean, P.J. Washington's their leading scorer.
Right, they've been hurt. Davis has been hurt, and Irving's been hurt. So what is the problem here? It's very bizarre.
The problem is that Flagg is, I don't know. I think it was a little early, to be fair. I think this was something that the Dumonts wanted to do the moment the trade got made. The moment the backlash.
Yeah, so if the owner wanted to get rid of Doncic, and there was, reports that wanted to happen. If they wanted to get rid of Doncic, and then you're sitting there at, 3-8, not having a good season to this point, you're firing Nico Harrison for what exactly? If you were on board with getting rid of Doncic, and you had the crap storm that followed, you get the number one overall pick, everybody, 32 out of 32 general managers, I mean, everybody would have gotten Flagg. Everybody. Yeah. So there's not like a question like you made a strange pick. None of that.
It's to your point. It's either the scapegoat thing where...
It's a scapegoat.
The Dumonts wanted him fired after Doncic got traded, or there was a difference in opinion in the way that they want this team to be moved through into the future, which I find hard to believe. I find hard to believe with, to your credit, Anthony Davis playing 5 games, Kyrie Irving being unavailable, Cooper Flagg still being a rookie, averaging 15 points a game. I mean, what? Did the Dumonts expect Cooper Flagg to average 25 and 7-8 right out of college? Because that's just unrealistic. So, I don't know. Very odd. I think this is one of those teams in Dallas where when you make a big splash like that for all the wrong reasons, someone's always trying to find a way out. When it's the wrong move. And look at the Lakers. Without LeBron James, the Lakers...
Doncic has been outstanding.
He's been the best player in the NBA, arguably, without LeBron James in that lineup. And imagine when LeBron comes back. So it's bad press after bad press for the Mavs. And sadly, I think this is more bad press for them after they canned the guy, not even giving him until the All-Star break. Like, fine. If you aren't where you want to be at the All-Star break, technically the All-Star break is past the halfway point, Kyle. So, like, I feel like that's a good place to make a judgment. I don't know. Pretty early for me. It just seemed like they wanted a scapegoat.
Yeah, it's. I understand firing him because the trade was egregious. That's your franchise cornerstone. You got rid of him. Now you got lucky because you got the number one overall pick behind that. I mean, with Shady or not, it still got a decent, you know, haul back. But now you got Anthony Davis, who's injury prone, and you got the Cooper Flag, who is going through growing pains, and you got Kyrie Irving, who is hurt, and then we got somebody has to pay. So get rid of the general manager after letting him make probably the most franchise-altering move in the history of the Mavericks, and then 6 months later get rid of him.
Yeah,
that's where that's malpractice at an ownership level. That is you not understanding the stakes of the franchise you run, because you can't just give them all and then nothing. It's bizarre, the power dynamic involved.
I mean, that was one of the more shocking trades of this century.
And they asked Shams Charania, they said, whose idea was it to trade Doncic back there in February? And he said it was Nico Harrison's. And he sold everybody else in it. Whether that's true or not remains a different story. But, I mean, that was Nico Harrison who spearheaded it. He went right to the Lakers, said, hey, Doncic is available. I'm thinking Anthony Davis. And now the Mavericks are sort of in limbo. And I took their over. That's another one where I got skin in the game.
Oh.
I got burned there. It's early. But they've been hurt. You know, Klay Thompson has been a shell of himself. Anthony Davis has not been healthy. And Kyrie Irving is not going to be healthy until, you know, January, February. And they're all 35 years old. They're all 36.
Remember, this team was supposed to play great defense. You know, with Luka, they weren't playing any defense. And Nico Harrison traded for Anthony Davis to have a good front court and be able to protect the rim and be a defensive team.
Well, they started flagging point guard the first game of the year because they thought he'd be able to be some sort of point forward. That didn't work out.
No.
Need point guards in this league.
That was a disaster.
Need point guards in this league.
He's not a point guard, though, either.
I mean, that's a coach problem, by the way.
Jason Kidd?
That's a coach problem. I mean, that's a weird franchise right now because, honestly, once they got that flag pick, the optics of that trade moved a little bit. It shifted because they got a great young star that is going to be probably the face of that franchise for the next, you know, 15 years.
Especially with how bad the Lakers fizzled out of the playoffs.
It looked good from optics at one point. Now it looks bad again. So it's pendulum shifting left and right, but it was just an unprecedented move that the Mavericks didn't need to make. And it's on top of, you know, same guy who let Jalen Brunson walk out the door, and then he goes to the Knicks and explodes into this big star. I mean, he's got a laundry list of things he's screwed up, and now he's out.
It's premature in the sense of if you're going to make this big move of trading a player like Luka.
And you can't get rid of the guy.
That's very premature to do that, 6 months after? Help me out. 8 months after?
Yeah,
not even
February.
A full calendar year?
February.
Yeah, not even a full calendar year, you're not even going to let this guy see the All-Star break. That's a panic. That's a panic.
Yeah, if that's the case, if you're that close to firing him, then why'd you let him make the trade in the
correct
first place?
That's a panic. And they were not.
If you agreed with the trade, then right. Why get rid of him?
Exactly. And that's why I said it's very premature to trade a player of Doncic's stature to not let him see it through is crazy. And keep in mind, 2 years ago, they were in the NBA Finals. It was the same guy who brought you to the NBA Finals the year before. Were you outclassed against the Celtics? Absolutely. You got pantsed in that series. But at the same time, went to the final. This is a GM who went to the finals 2 years ago, and now he's out of a job right now. Pretty crazy.
It reflects poor ownership. It reflects poor ownership just as much as poor management with the general manager. Now, he's not a great general manager. There's no doubt. I have a hard time seeing him ever get a front office job, a major one, in the NBA forever. So that should tell you enough in terms of his stature and where he stands. But, I mean, the timing is very bizarre. You're going to fire him 11 games into the season after you let him make the most altering move to the franchise in, you know, since its inception. And then you're going to get rid of him 11 games into the following year because the number one overall pick has not been averaging 27-8-8. Really? A little weird. Little strange. You want to argue with him about roster construction? I know he fired that athletic trainer and everybody gave him crap about that because of the timing of it all. I know the Jalen Brunson thing doesn't look good. If that was a straw that broke the camel's back, that bad start to the year, then you should have gotten rid of him or you shouldn't have given him the power to change Doncic. Get him out of there. That's the problem. That's Mike Rizzo. Colin Russo, Nico Harrison fired as general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. They announced today Patrick Dumont, their new owner, made that declaration earlier today. We'll get into the 5 and 5 as we enter into the next hour of Russo and Rizzo right here, ESPN 106.3.